Greetings everybody, it's John, and I think everybody around here knows very well that the hills in this area are alive with the sound of music of all sorts of genres. And I was watching Look North the other week, and I heard this amazing voice, beautiful singing, and it's all coming from behind Vale Baptist Church at Cornhome in Dobberdon. Ah, this is worth pursuing. And so I found out who it actually was, and it was Nicola Mills, and she's sitting in front of me now. What I'd like to do is ask Nicola if she could just tell us how she got into singing in the first place, and then how she got into what she's doing now, which is sort of music in the community.
Well, I'm from Oldham originally, and I would kind of consider myself a bit of a Billy Elliot, because I'm not from a you know, musical kind of background. Obviously there was music on in the house, but there was no kind of classical music or anything like that. But I went to a lovely primary school, and when I was seven, somebody offered brass lessons to people. So I put my hand up, was given a trombone to have a go of, and made a noise, and that was it. My future was sealed at that point, kind of thing, from the age of seven. And before that, you know, I'd kind of had The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, My Fair Lady, Annie, Calamity Jane on, and would sing along to them as well. But I wasn't this child who was desperate to be in the limelight, not at all. I was completely the opposite. I was quite a shy thing. But somehow, you know, music became my life, and I got better on the trombone and was learning to read music. And then I went to the local music centre and was there kind of 3-4 nights a week, playing in the orchestras and the bands. And then when I was 13, I joined the choir, Oldham Girls Choir. Everything was for free. You know, I've got five brothers. There's absolutely no way on this earth my parents would have even thought to pay for it, or would have had the...
Would be able to pay for it,
you know. Yeah. So I was lucky in that respect. I know it's very different these days. And then when I was 15, you know, I loved singing in the choir. So many lovely opportunities. I remember going to London, and we even went over to America for 2 weeks with the orchestra and stuff. Somebody offered me free singing lessons, and they introduced me to opera. And she just said, look, there's a competition on at the music centre, and I'm tired of there never being any singers. So would you take some lessons and do this competition? And I said, yeah. So we got my songs ready, and it was, you know, some Mozart to start with. That was the first song I was ever given to sing. And my life changed from that very day.
So you were saying the school actually went over to America?
Oldham Music Centre.
Good heavens. Those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen at the moment.
I know.
Right. So you've obviously been abroad quite a bit by looking at your details on the internet and so on. So you were saying before we started the recording, you spent some time in New York when you sort of got into the music business properly. How did that happen?
Well, I'll give you a bit of the backstory. So, when I started having those lessons, this lady encouraged me to go to music college, and I didn't know what a music college was. You know, my parents didn't have the money at all, so she left the area, and then I washed up in restaurants to pay for my lessons, and I paid to apply for music colleges myself. You know, I was only a 17-year-old girl, 18, and I couldn't afford to apply for too many, so I got a place in Scotland at the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama. So I went there for 6 years. Then I worked in opera houses. So I worked at Glyndebourne Festival Opera for 2 years in Lewes, in East Sussex, which was wonderful.
Right, I think it was.
And then I moved to London, but I thought, well, you know, I want to go abroad now. So I went to Amsterdam and went to the opera studio there and got work in the opera houses and concert work and, you know, here, there and everywhere around Holland.
So did you have to do sort of interviews?
You got to do auditions.
Auditions, absolutely.
Yeah, which is really not nice. It's quite stressful, you know.
It is, yeah.
It's one part of it that's just horrible, you know. Mm. You get your 5 minutes and it can just be bleh. But somehow I always managed to get work, and I'm grateful for that. So I did my time in Holland, and then I got offered a job in an opera house in Belgium, in Antwerp. So I moved there and I lived there for 4 years. You know, and I really love my Belgian beers. I've got my Belgian beers in the fridge. It's like as soon as I see a Belgian beer somewhere, I buy one.
Go get one.
You know, I've taken that on, but the chips are better here, you know. So, you know, I had my full-time job in the opera house. But what happened, you see, this is why I think it's part of the story, if you don't mind me saying. No. What happened while I was working in Belgium was, you know, you've spent all these years striving in this profession, and somehow you kind of lose yourself a little bit. And it, and the more time goes on, you've actually lost who you are. And somebody said to me, you know, you're always having lessons and you're always getting coachings and you're always trying to get better, you know, because that's the profession. What you do is never quite good enough, you know. You're always, what can I do to be better? And I just, somebody said, oh, you know, enjoy it. And I thought, enjoy it? What are you talking about? I don't actually enjoy it. And it really, you know, when someone, triggers something in you and you go away and you think, like, when did I actually last enjoy singing a song? And I couldn't remember. So that sent me on a whole, well, why am I not enjoying it? So again, that's, I'd say that's when my real inner journey on myself began. So over time, you know, this didn't happen, this happened, took a couple of years. I thought, I've got to do something about this. You know, I want to enjoy singing. I was that little girl.
Yes.
Who sang along to The Sound of Music.
Right, and you wanted that to come forward again.
Yeah, I thought, where's she gone?
Yeah, right.
So I decided to go and sing on the streets in Antwerp. So once I put my mind to something, I'm a very determined person. I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Yeah. You know, and I don't mess around. So this took a few months and I was very scared getting that right one and getting the equipment and putting the songs together. So after a few months, I plucked up the courage to go and sing on the streets in Antwerp in front of the cathedral.
Right.
And I had no idea what the response would be. All I know is I was terrified, like I've never been scared before in my life.
It must have been.
Everything was shaking.
Yeah.
Everything. And I wanted to run. But I knew deep down, I thought, you got to do this, Nick. And my life changed again on that at that point because people started to say, have you got a card? You know, where are you singing?
Yes.
And what, you know, where can we come and watch you, or can you come and sing here? So the first few times I went out, people were giving me opportunities.
Right.
It was like the first three times, and there was a very nice cafe that I happened to sing outside that I didn't realise was a cafe because it's behind the, you know, the main entrance. And they said, would you come and sing on the terrace all summer, and you will, you know, you can collect money and we'll help you. So I plucked up the courage to book a theatre and think, right, well, what I'll do is I'll put my own show on.
Right.
And I decided to call myself the down-to-earth diva at that point. Because I thought, everybody expects an opera singer to be a bit of a diva.
Yes.
But actually, I'm from the north of England, from a very working class Billy Elliot kind of background, and I've not lost that, and I'm really down-to-earth. So that's why I decided to do that. But I'd say those first 6 months, I faced many, many fears with inside myself. Yeah. But I created many, many joys with inside myself that I didn't know were there.
Right.
And I started to actually see what I could do for others and how I could help them and bring joy to them. But it brought joy to me at the same time. I was on the television there, and just I had so many lovely opportunities, and I'd say my world just opened up and went in a different direction. For the first month, I wanted to run a mile. And, you know, everybody cycles. You know, when I lived in Amsterdam, you cycle everywhere, and I had this big box on my back and all my stuff, and I would be like, go on, Nick, go and do it. And I would talk myself out of it 20 times and go, just turn back, just turn, oh, it's raining, oh, nobody wants to listen, I'm going to be in the way, it's going to be annoying people. And I would say to people, I'm only going to be an hour, as it like apologising for myself.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I had anything to offer, but I would force myself to do it.
So you sing for about an hour?
An hour, yeah, that's what I do on the street, because, you know, I also believe that's enough for me vocally. That's enough for the shops around and for the people. And I still had my full-time job at the Opera House.
All right.
So I was still doing that as well. So there was the two things going on, but my world just went in a totally different direction. So what happened over time was I kind of felt in my gut instinct, because I listened very much to what my heart and my gut are telling me to do. That's become a lot stronger over time. Was I just thought, I'm going to leave Belgium. You know, I feel like my time is coming to an end.
Right, yes.
So I've always been into like psychic things and, you know, that kind of thing. Because my dad, I grew up with my dad and he used to see spirits. So I've always kind of looked to some guidance from somewhere else.
Right, I see.
So I turned to a friend who does that kind of thing in Belgium, and I just thought, I'm not going to say a word. But I thought in my head, I want to know if I'm going to leave Belgium. And the first thing she said was, you're going to leave Belgium. And I thought, right, I knew. It's like she confirmed it to me.
Yes, yeah.
So I said to her, but I've got London in my head and I've got New York in my head. And I thought, why have I got New York in my head? I've never, you know, I'd only been for one day when I was a child with the music centre.
Music centre,
you know, so I thought, where's that coming from? But over time, the feelings just got stronger within myself. And I thought, right, what I've got to do is I'm loving what I'm doing. That was the point. I was actually loving what I was doing.
And that was a big difference, wasn't it?
Yes. I was getting to sing for everyday people like you, like your wife.
Yeah.
Now on the streets for wherever anybody is. And I thought, I'm onto something here. And I felt in my gut, I thought, this is the direction you've got to take. And I had to trust that. I feel there's a lot more ahead, you see, but you have to take all those little steps. Mm-hmm. You have to follow that and not be scared, even though I was scared, you know. So I thought, right, I'm going to give up my job at the Opera House because I can feel the rot starting to set in. I could feel it. I would go and I would just get grumpy and think, I don't want to do this anymore.
All the politics and all that.
Exactly,
kind of thing.
That's it. And I thought, my heart's not in this. I feel like I'm just a robot on the stage. Nobody really cares. And I would go out on the street and sing Ave Maria, and a lady would come up and be crying and say, thank you so much for singing that. So I plucked up the courage to give up my job. I was allowed to take a year off and then go back, but I knew I wasn't going back.
I see.
You know, I knew my gut was like, you've done your time in Belgium, you've learnt your lessons, I had a wonderful time, so many happy memories. And I thought, right, I've got to go to London. Now, me and London, I don't like London. I like it to visit, but to live there, I've done it twice, and both times it's not been for me. It's just not the right energy. But at the same time, I knew I had to go. So I followed that gut. And I'm singing on the streets there, and I'm trying to create my own thing. And by this time, I'm calling myself Opera for the People. Because I'm very much for the people. In every sense, not just singing for people, I'm very much for the people. You know, I love singing for the, you know, the people who are not able to have that or expect it, or, you know, the underdog kind of, almost. You know, I volunteer for the homeless a lot and sang for them and things like that. I'm very much like, if I can help someone, I don't care where you're from, what you do or anything like that. If you want to sit and enjoy it, I'll sing for you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about money here. We're talking about just helping through kindness.
More to life than money,
exactly. So I went back to London, and after a few months I'm like, I remember thinking, what am I doing here, you know? And it all became very clear, and I'm so glad I followed my gut, because one day this man came up to me and he said, I've been watching you sing and you've got quite a few technical problems. Now usually I can be quite defensive, and I just thought, and he said what they were, and I thought, spot on, he really is. And you know, when someone allows you to be vulnerable and you think, I actually do need help with that.
Right.
And he said, well, I'm a singing teacher, maybe I can help you. Come and have a lesson. You don't have to pay me, just sing.
Oh, that was good.
And I went for my first lesson, and that turned into nearly 2 years of full-on mentoring. And he was 80 years old. And we developed a beautiful bond where it wasn't based around money. It was, you know, if I had to pay the going rate, we're talking about at least £60 a lesson. Now, I am not in a position to afford that. So we found our agreement, and he taught me two or three times a week, every week, because he had the knowledge he wanted to pass on, and I wanted to learn.
Yes.
So it was like that kind of bond.
Yes,
symbiotic,
wasn't it? Yes. You helped him, he helped you. Right.
Exactly. And we made it work for us both.
Yeah.
And that to me was one of the best things that's ever happened to me, because I got this attention I'd always wanted that I couldn't afford. And he took me right back to the beginning. We did lots of exercises. I had time.
Yes, because you weren't bothered with the opera job.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
right.
And because I didn't have the pressure of all that, because I was creating my own work as such,
yeah,
it meant I had the time to do it and the time to focus on it and the time to, you know, I wasn't pressured too much. And I was making it work, you know, all the balls in the air, and making sure I was singing enough to make money, enough money to live in London anyway, but also getting these lessons. And he would just give me piles of CDs and listen to this, all the old greats and stuff like that.
I
and
see.
Totally, it's helped me more than anybody else has helped me singing-wise.
Right.
And I still see him when,
oh,
you know,
right,
when I go to London.
Yeah.
And he's full of character and a total inspiration in, you know, the way he lives. He's very much out to live life as much as he can. So he's helped me out a lot. But in the meantime, I had this thing, I've got to go to New York.
To New York, right.
So I went for the first time when I first moved back to London in 2016. And I went for 3 weeks. There's always a massive story, isn't there? And a lovely thing had happened whilst I was still in Belgium was I'd got this opportunity to sing in New York. So the people said, look, we can ask you to sing, but we can't pay you. So you'll, you know, and I was like, I'll just pay myself. And so the other American woman who I knew in Belgium, who helped me to organise it, she said, we'll fundraise. And I thought, I've never fundraised for a penny in my life. I'm used to sorting myself out.
Yeah.
And paying for myself. And that brought up loads of fear. Like, how do I fundraise? Mm-hmm. How do I ask people to give me money?
Yeah.
And I came up with the idea to contact everybody I built bonds with whilst I was in Belgium and see if anybody could help me set up a concert where I come for free. If they could set up a venue, I would sing. And if anybody wanted to donate anything at the end for me to go to America, brilliant. And I could not believe the kindness of people. I gave myself 3 months, and once I started the events, I had all the money I needed in 3 weeks.
Good Lord.
It was amazing, amazing. I couldn't believe it.
It was meant to be, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was, but then I met people who said, well, I know someone who lives in New York. Would you sing for them? My daughter's there, and would you sing at her school, children's school? And I ended up with, like, quite a few opportunities. And then I would go and sing in Central Park as well, and I managed to get in with the musicians at the main spot. So they let me do a little bit.
Yeah.
And I sat at the end of my 3 weeks in New York, and it was like one of those ding moments you have where you think, this is where I'm actually going to be in the future.
Mm.
And I felt it so strongly that I thought, this is why it was in my gut, because I needed to feel that and I needed to know that and I needed to come here to feel why this feels like a good place for me.
Right.
So I came back to London. I'd not met my teacher by then. And then I met him, so I thought, right, this is why I understand I had to be in London. I got to the point where it was the beginning of 2018, and I thought, right, I'm done here now. I want to go to America, that's it. And I had a month's work in Monaco for the February through a friend of a friend. I was working at the opera house there. So I thought, right, I'm going to get rid of all my things. I sent a few bits up to my brother. He's got them in storage. And I became a soprano, a suitcase and a rucksack. So I started a blog at the end of 2018, which you can find online. It's literally www.asopranoasuitcaseandarucksack.com. But I'm still opera for the people. That's just my blog. So every 2 weeks, I've been writing what's been going on. And in those 2.5 years, I did my month in Monaco. And then I travelled around for a little bit. Went to see my best friend in Canada on the way to New York. And then I spent 3 months there. Not knowing anybody and literally just flying by the seat of my pants and putting my life there.
Yes.
Like I went thinking, even though technically I'm not allowed to live there, I went thinking, this is where I live. And then at the end of the 3 months, I came back. So I travelled around a little bit more, you know, no fixed address, and I booked to go again. So I went for another 3 months. And in that visit, I actually plucked up the courage to book a theatre there and put on my own show called The Soprano and a Suitcase. So that was another stress. Believe me, I've faced many fears and many stresses. When you step out of your comfort zone, it's not an easy journey. But when your heart and your gut tell you to do it, that's...
Then it becomes the thing to do, doesn't it? And
yes,
you overcome all your fears.
Exactly.
Right, I'll tell you what, that's been fascinating. Could we have a bit of a break, do you think, now? And perhaps we can come back and you can tell us how you've got on since you came back to this country and you started wandering around marketplaces.
That's
and
it, the
like
last
that.
Year.
Smashing. So see you later, everybody. Thanks.